Hello and welcome to The Write Stuff, a podcast by the Gonzaga University Writing Center. As a reminder, the Writing Center is open Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Friday 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Sundays 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. To schedule an appointment, go to gonzaga.mywconline.com. That's gonzaga.mywconline.com.
Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Writing Center podcast. I'm sitting down right now with Dr. Ann Chisullo, core director and the professor of, or a professor of English and Women and Gender and Sexuality Studies at Gonzaga University. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I can be the professor too.
Okay, cool. Yeah, there you go. Anything to further establish that we are talking to somebody with an extensive background in writing is just treasured at the university.
Oh, thank you.
And so it's an honor to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks.
What I really want to get into today is, because obviously you're the core director, mm-hmm. and so we've got, every student needs to suffice those core requirements.
Right.
How can that really help a writer? And what are those strategies and those, what's really beneficial to that kind of whole system that we've developed? Mm-hmm. And then also, I really wanted to get into certain tutoring strategies and especially with non-traditional writing, you know, you're an essay or something is very easy to tutor, but also something like a graphic novel or a comic and something that I know that you've had experience in. So that's just kind of a gentle framework of where we can go. We are more than welcome to diverge off the path. But before we get into that, can you tell me just a little bit about your writing background and how you've gotten to Gonzaga?
Sure, absolutely. This is my 16th year at Gonzaga, and I actually began my career at Gonzaga as an undergraduate. So I went here from 1988 to 1992. I was an English and French major, and I studied abroad in Paris for a semester. And the English department looked very different back then. I mm-hmm. had my first female teacher when I was a sophomore. It was mostly male teachers in the department, and it was a very different curriculum. So for instance, the English department didn't have the writing concentration back then. So you can, I think, kind of see it reflected in the English department, shifts in what English studies values, right? And the kinds of opportunities that we want to provide to students. After I graduated here, I did my master's degree in English at Washington State University. It took me 2 years. Then I took 2 years off and I taught at various places in Spokane. And then I did my PhD at the University of Kentucky in Lexington. That was my first introduction to the importance of basketball. And after that, I worked for 3 years at the University of Oregon, and in fact was the associate director of the writing of composition at the University of Oregon for 2 years.
Yeah, I went to the U of O for 2 years.
Did you really?
I transferred, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eugene was great for a very short amount of time, but then the rain really got to me. So
and the fog.
Yes, it gets old. It's mm-hmm. nice being that close to the ocean, but it gets mm-hmm. old. From there, then I really wanted to come back to Spokane, and I got a job at Spokane Falls Community College, where I was mainly teaching writing. And then from there, this will be of interest to Writing Center people, Dr. Eliason and I actually applied for the same job, and he got the job because he is a compositionist and I am not, and that was a good choice, and then I was hired to teach literature. But obviously, I teach a lot of writing, and writing's been central to everything I do, and I actually enjoy writing a lot too. So part of what I try to convey to students when I'm teaching is how amazing language is, how it's a tool but also a source of creativity, and it can be a lot of fun even if though it's work. Mm-hmm. So I just finished I just published a book this past February.
No way.
That I worked on for 2 years, and that was kind of grueling, but also, you know, when you're in the writing zone, like you're writing really well, how good that feels. That was a really nice feeling to get back. So that's my background.
Amazing. And, you know, you talk about where, first of all, I just want to mention really quickly that I was only looking at my computer because that noise started to just whir
totally,
up.
Okay.
I had to start closing tabs left and right.
It's getting mad at you,
I know. I was like, oh, no, because I had a podcast the other day that totally got derailed because this was going, or it wasn't even this computer. It was their computer that wasn't even on.
And it was making, making that fan noise.
And I had to just rework some audio.
Yeah, all good. I was in the zone. So
I know. I didn't want you to think I was, you know, technically. Anyway, but where was I? You were just talking about background, and I wanted to segue into tutoring.
Yeah.
Really quick. Let me regain the train of thought. Here we go. Yeah. Writing zone is where I'm going to go with this. All right. So you mentioned so much about that writing zone, and maybe for the love of like that love of writing that people can attach themselves so greatly to. For those that maybe don't have that same attachment to it or are trying to get there, what are those big tips that you kind of have seen work, or are there any strategies that you've implored that have shown success or that get people closer to that zone? Because it's such it's an amazing experience when you get really down to it.
It is. And this is where I think writing centers, which I worked at in my graduate program quite a bit, are really important, because to me, so much of the writing process is talking through your ideas. So, you know, one thing that I sometimes suggest to students is you don't even have to have anything written down to go to the writing center. And students will come talk to me in my office. It's the brainstorming process. So sometimes I think people who are intimidated by writing, if you can get them talking first and then say, what you just said should be on a piece of paper, that sort of takes the mystique or kind of the anxiety of writing away, right? It's not that we're necessarily transcribing everything we say, but there's an idea, and what can you do with that idea? I also think, and this is one of the joys of teaching literature, is that words are just really cool. And so being able to talk about a novel or talk about a poem and say, let's talk about why that word was used, and show students how word choice matters, and it can convey so much about mood and about intention for an author. And while I wouldn't want that to create more anxiety, like every word matters, there's a sort of play that comes along with it, right? And a creativity that even, like oftentimes I think students will say, well, I can't be creative in an analytical essay. That is 100% false. I mean, I think if the teacher allows it, it's a place where your voice can come through. Yes, you're maybe looking at abstract ideas, but there's still someone expressing them. That someone is you. Mm-hmm. So how can you convey a sense of person behind the writing? And that's something that I feel like I've developed a lot throughout my career that I fought to. Because early in my career, I would want to move between the personal and the analytical. And sometimes I would get pushback in certain places, sometimes from academic journals. And I would say, I'm not changing the way I'm writing this. Yeah. So, and I think it's more common now, but showing or conveying to students that language is really cool, and that then getting the chance to play with language can be really fun as well. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that happens in the Writing Center a lot.
Oh, absolutely.
That my guess is, and this has been my experience, that people come in feeling anxious and leave thinking, I know what my next step is.
Yeah, and so many people will have this idea where the Writing Center might be this judgment zone, or that people are here to, there's that red pen's going to come out and there'll be silent judging whether or not, you know, it's negative. But it's just like that whole aspect, and that's not true at all. And
right.
People can get really caught up in that. Mm-hmm. And cause writing is this beautiful thing, and these words have so much power and meaning that we can attach to them. Depending on your major, though, some of those maybe don't have as big of a role. Why in the core do we have such a focus on writing then?
Right, that's a really excellent question, right? I mean, you might ask someone in the hard sciences if they love writing, and they're going to say, I'm writing lab reports, right? Which are very, you know, you're not creative in a lab report.
No, we've had one of the engineering professors has invited all of his students. Well, they're not invited. They're required to come to the Writing Center. Mm. And they're 4,000, 5,000 word documents about construction materials.
Wow.
All about, you know, wood or cement or like some sort of variation of cement, or how does this compare to this cement? And they're not very interesting. And they don't necessarily need to be coming into the Writing Center for that same flow, that voice.
That's right. And that's, I think, it's two sides of the same coin, which is there can be the fun part of it, but there's also the practical part, which is most jobs require a lot of writing and you want to be able to write well. And I think the fact that the core requires students to take 3 writing enriched classes conveys, you know, not that we want you to become a poet, but that we want you to recognize in the larger world, you're going to be communicating with people every single day. Like I really, and I know this is strange because I'm an English professor and work at a university, I never imagined I would be writing as much as I am. I would say probably when I'm not teaching, 80% of my time is email or writing a report or sometimes reaching out with someone and then some sort of document comes out of that. But to be able to do it well is a skill. And mm-hmm. so I think
to write 5,000, 4,000
words. That's a lot of words.
Yeah. And we're talking 14 pages
yes.
are being written down. And even then, there are still things that we work on, and these appointments are beneficial. But still, to be able to do that is such a skill.
And not only that, the stakes are very high for them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So
yeah.
if you're talking about construction materials, you want it to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another case where we can see, one of the things I really work on with students is both precision and concision in language. Like, can you say it in fewer words? And can you, what word do you actually mean here? Right? I was just working on that with another person in the writing center. And talking through it, we rolled it, okay, what you just said, that's what needs to be on paper. But oftentimes we think about academic writing as kind of so abstract that it removes us from clarity. But engineers need to be clear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think there's also like the practicality of it. This is part of your job. This is the kind of stuff you're going to be doing. I do think that writing is like exercise. Like it's something you have to practice it. And then it gets mm-hmm. easier for it to be part of your day.
And you need that feedback element too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Because what you think might be clear might be completely.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure you see this not only with the engineering students, but all students.
Like, exactly.
Oh, that's what you actually meant to say, then that's what you need
to
say.
And there's so many instances when, you know, even if you're working with a document that's so many pages long that you've been writing and you've been in that maybe that zone for so long that you know what you mean to say and it's not on the page.
Right.
Because
maybe
is a short word here and there that you know is there, you know what it's supposed to say, and you're so used to it being there that it just you just blow right past it.
Exactly.
And that feedback element, somebody says, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. What's that? Yeah. What does that mean?
That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it also shows that, I mean, sure, you know, my diary from when I was 7 to 10 years old was for myself and it's hilarious to read now. But most writing is social. We're writing for an audience, whether we know who that audience is or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to make sure we're understood. And I think the core helps with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, being a transfer student, I wasn't able to completely utilize the core mm-hmm. to its fullest mm-hmm. potential. But where I have been able to, yeah, I've found it completely beneficial. And cores at different schools are obviously very different.
Very different.
How does, you know, I know experience from a different core, mm-hmm. but how does Gonzaga's core, where is that different? Where do you think it really shines?
I think the key is it's a liberal arts core, right? So if we think of somewhere like University of Oregon or University of Washington, one of the things I used to do with my students was look first at their mission statements, which are radically different.
Mm-hmm.
If we compare UW to ours, you know, ours is about the whole person.
Yeah.
And what does that mean? It means in terms of what the core does is to provide a liberal education, liberal with a lowercase l. In other words, you're sampling liberally from a whole bunch of disciplines in order to determine what do you like, what don't you like, but also what are the conversations between these disciplines. And my guess is that large public institutions don't do that in the same way. I think they're geared more toward vocation and a skill set, right? And certainly there are skill sets represented in the core, but that's not the primary purpose of our core. The primary purpose is to encourage critical thinking across a lot of different disciplines in order to kind of enhance the whole person, not just intellectually, but mm-hmm. personally, spiritually, et cetera.
Yeah. And you mentioned the multiple disciplines. There's a multiple discipline of writing and these skills that people have. And something that I really wanted to talk to you about was helping tutor and how do you work with maybe something that isn't just an essay?
Mm-hmm.
I've heard you've worked with graphic novels and
yes.
comics.
Yes.
Can you talk to me a little bit about how that helps, or what's that tutoring process like? And also, how does it also help your tutoring process overall?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, I've taught graphic novels more than I've had students do assignments in them, but I have allowed students to create a graphic narrative if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things we talk about is, you know, the basic question is, what is a narrative? What constitutes a narrative? And then, what are different ways we tell stories? So words are one way, but images are another. And so then it's a matter of thinking about how do I put those images in an order that's coherent? These are the exact same questions we'd ask with language,
totally,
right?
Totally.
What's my thesis? Like, is there an image that functions as the thesis in this? What's the end point of the story? How am I, what's my conclusion? What image might best represent that conclusion? So I think there are ways in which visual communication works very similarly to language, in that there are sign systems that are attempting to communicate something, right? Mm-hmm. And as systems, they have rules that we follow. And so trying to convey to students, like, just because this doesn't look like a paper, it can still function like one because of that set of rules, I think is something that a tutor could do as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how necessarily, and you know, we have people that come in all the time with maybe something that isn't just always an essay. We talk about people with like speeches,
yep,
and
yep,
presentations, and that element, there are things like a thesis that,
yeah,
you can totally pinpoint. What are some strategies that maybe some people can kind of maybe either come into the Writing Center to help fine tune, but also maybe come to you, or, you know, I know you're very busy. Yeah. I don't want to, you know, overwhelm you with anything, but what are, that they can come to maybe professors, or what's a way to articulate maybe that? Because it's tough sometimes.
It is. So are you asking, I'm just wanting clarification on your question. Are you asking like how best to tutor people with a variety of topics?
Yeah. What's kind of that focus?
What do they have in common?
Yeah.
Regardless of what, to me, it would be audience. In other words, you're thinking, who is this for, even if it doesn't end up going to that person? And what's the most effective way to get the message to that person? So a paper is one thing, but a speech is something very different. And at the same time,
Similar,
right? I mean, all of us have read a book or a paper where the last line is just amazing, right? And we've also heard speeches where the last line is amazing. So we think about pacing. Where are we trying to get the most emotional impact out of our audience? I think when we think of our writing, our speech, whatever it is we're creating in a vacuum, it's not going to be effective because then it's just for us.
Yeah.
So,
you know, we're kind of winding down. We've talked about where the core sits in this whole vast Gonzaga, but also like the university network, mm-hmm, and where it sits and how it's unique and how it benefits. We've talked about a little bit how to tutor people that maybe come in with non-traditional, mm-hmm, forms of written text or something like that. Is there anything else you would wish to kind of speak about in a tutoring lens or something else we should focus on?
Mm-hmm.
My
experience with tutoring, and I'm guessing this is the experience of many people working here, is that a lot of people see tutoring centers as editing,
mm-hmm,
right? Like the place for editing.
Do you remember the U of O, their writing center?
Yes.
With the drop-off papers?
Yes, that's right.
You could drop off a paper, and you wouldn't interact with anyone. You would pick it up and it'd be fully marked up.
And think about what that means, which is that you don't even know who your audience was.
Mm-mm.
So, I mean, I'm not saying there's not a place for editing like that, but it's not at an undergraduate institution. And frankly, it's not really in many life scenarios because you're wanting to see what that emotional and intellectual response from a person is going to be, which is why, again, when I talk to students about the Writing Center, I'm usually talking about it at any stage of your process. But the beginning stages is one of the most valuable because I think it also brings home the fact that there's an audience for this.
Yeah.
You know, yes, actually, I do have one other thing to say, but it's completely unrelated to this. So you will need to edit this part. One of the things that I will often tell students too is, like, if they're working on a larger project, and this is what I found really useful with my book, you know, you can get in the zone and then you can get in the other zone, which is like so much with a piece you can't see it clearly anymore.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible place to be. And when I'm working with students who are there, I will say, you have to set it aside and do something else because, mm-hmm, your brain is still working on it, right? And what I would find when I would get stuck is I'd always go for a walk. And then on the walk, I would be thinking through my ideas. And sometimes I'd have like this great moment where all the pieces of the essay would fall together.
Mm-hmm.
So having that distance also helps too.
Sometimes I just take a shower.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just am like, I'm clean, but I need to think about something.
Yes,
like,
that's right.
Something about the hot water.
It's a different
down.
Thought process.
Yeah.
Yes, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Totally. And then was there anything you wanted to continue on that thought?
No.
Just before?
No.
Okay,
just
cool.
That can be edited somewhere else.
Great.
Probably.
I'll
or
make
you
sure.
can leave it out, whatever you want to do.
Perfect.
So.
Well, it has been a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you so
today.
Much.
Yeah, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
I appreciate you asking me. Thank you. I just want to say one more thing, which
yeah.
is that...
Do you have anything to shout out?
No, I have a shout out to John Eliason, who might be the worst boss on earth, and I'm really sorry that you have to work with him.
That'll get edited out.
I know it will. He and I have this ongoing relationship where we insult each other.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, he'll know exactly what that means.
Perfect. I'll splice that. I'll send it to
him.
Send it
just to him. Yeah. You can say, this is all she said in
yeah,
the interview.
Yeah, I know.
And then she left the room.
5 seconds. She stormed out.
That was a good look on your face, but no. He badmouths me all the time in his classes. So I was like, okay, if you're going to do that to me,
fair
I'm
game.
Gonna do it in the podcast.
Well, okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. It was such
yeah.
a pleasure to
awesome.
Talk with you. I appreciate
yes.
it.
Thanks for listening to The Right Stuff. Remember, to schedule an appointment with the Writing Center, go to gonzaga.mywconline.com. Thanks again.